as the new year begins, an awful lot of people engage in resolutions about their health, about their physical well-being, and people get back to the gym and all that. Nothing wrong with it. But I want to suggest some spiritual resolutions at the beginning of the new year. And the three I talk about, first of all, are prayer. Secondly, forgiving an enemy. And thirdly, comforting the afflicted. And let me say something about each one of those. Prayer. Almost everybody, even with a vague interest in the spiritual life, will say something like, you know, I don't pray well enough. I should be better in my life of prayer. It's a bit there like physical health. Most of us thinking, I should be healthier, I should exercise more. And I would say that's probably true. Most of us don't pray as we should. Thomas Merton, the greatest spiritual writer of the 20th century, said, when someone asked him, what's the one thing I can do to improve my prayer life, said, take the time. It's a very simple response. Nothing arcane about it. Take the time. How do I improve my health? Well, exercise every day. I don't have time. Take the time. Put it in your schedule to get on that exercise cycle or whatever it is. Same with prayer. I don't have time. If I pray, I squeeze it in at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, or I'm distracted during Mass, and I take the time. Beginning of the day, end of the day, whenever it's good for you. But you can find it. You find time for almost everything else in your life. Find time to lift up your mind and heart to God. That's prayer. What are some concrete ways to do it? I go back to simple things. The rosary prayer. The rosary prayer is slow. It's meditative. It's contemplative. It takes a little bit of time. Even if you're racing through it, it takes a little bit of time. I've often advocated the Jesus prayer as a great way to pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the whole Jesus prayer. That's it. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In the Eastern Christian traditions, when they pray the first part of that, they breathe in. As though you're trying to breathe the Lord in. And then you say, have mercy on me, a sinner, as you breathe out. As though you're kind of expelling sin from your life. And then that prayer gets into the rhythm of your body and the rhythm of your breathing. So I'd recommend that's a great way to pray. And you can do it for 5 minutes, do it for a half an hour. Go before the Blessed Sacrament sometime and spend 20 minutes, 15 minutes praying the Jesus Prayer. In your car, when you're stuck in traffic, pray the Jesus Prayer. Instead of, you know, banging your fist against the dashboard, pray the Jesus Prayer with that deliberate style. I think, you know, the most important way to pray, because it's the central prayer of Catholicism, is the Mass. If you've not been going to Mass, go to Mass. Make that a resolution. You've been skipping Sunday Mass, stop it. It's like saying, well, I don't know why I'm getting so heavy and so out of shape. I exercise twice a month. Well, it's not enough. You've got to be at it. We talk about practicing the faith. Well, it's like practicing a musical instrument or practicing a sport. You don't practice it on a regular basis. Of course, you lose your focus and your edge and your skill. So in the same way, practice your faith. If you are a Sunday Mass goer, go every day. Go a couple times a week. So increase your attendance at Mass is a great way to pray. So that's resolution number one, prayer. Number two is forgive an enemy. It might sound a little bit melodramatic, but I'm using Jesus' own language. Forgive your enemies. Right now, every single person listening to me or watching me has an enemy. I mean, someone that's bugging you, someone with whom you've had a falling out, maybe someone that was a close friend and is no longer, someone that annoys you and bugs you. There's an enemy that we all have. Maybe we have more than one, but pick one this year and actively forgive that enemy. Now, that means much more than some inner move. I hereby forgive my enemy. That isn't it. Forgiveness in the New Testament is always an action. It means going out to the one from whom you're alienated, even when that person is wandering far from you. See? Instead of going the other way, that's our usual thing. You wander away, I'm going to wander further away, and we'll get even more isolated. No, as that person wanders away, go after them. Go after them. Seek to be reconciled. Do it with a phone call. Do it with a note. Do it with a visit. Take some concrete physical action to be reconciled with an enemy. See, as I read the Bible, the falling out with someone, becoming someone's enemy, interrupts the flow of the spiritual life in so many ways. That's why Jesus says, you know, before you bring your gift to the altar, be reconciled to your brother. That means liturgical prayer is going to be interrupted if you've got all these problems in the background. Be reconciled first with your brother, then bring your gift to the altar. So I'd recommend a resolution. Do something concretely now to be reconciled with an enemy. Here's the third recommendation. Comfort the afflicted. I think I've spoken before about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. The great Dorothy Day, said, everything a baptized person does every day should be directly or indirectly related to the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. What I like about that is it's very concrete, very clear. If you say, well, my life's all about love, well, la-di-da, show me what that looks like. You know, and it looks like, for us, these concrete acts. Corporal works of mercy include giving food to the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, visiting the imprisoned, providing a home for the homeless. Some of the spiritual works of mercy are counseling the doubtful, instructing the ignorant, praying for the living and the dead. But the one I want to focus on as a resolution is comforting the afflicted. I guarantee you, everybody watching me, everyone listening to me, knows someone who's afflicted. Now, it might mean they're in physical discomfort, they're sick, but it might mean that they're lonely, they're anxious, they're bored, they're afraid. There's someone maybe in your house, certainly on your block, certainly in your parish, at your place of work, somebody you know is afflicted in some way and needs a visitor, needs comfort. Do it. Do it. Find somebody, isolate someone, and say, I'm going to do one of these spiritual works of mercy. I've been reading a lot of Mother Teresa's writings and diaries recently, and she makes this point over and over again. She who dealt with the poorest of the poor, those who were in the worst condition, you know, physically and economically, but she said over and over again, that isn't the major problem. The major problem is always the spiritual poverty. People who are isolated, lonely, unloved, that's the greatest suffering. I think she's absolutely right about that. And those people can be found not only in the ghetto of Calcutta, they can be found in Chicago and New York and Washington and anywhere you look. So find one of those people, probably very close to you, who is spiritually poor, afflicted, and comfort them. That, I think, is a great spiritual power.